It's a whole controversial, complicated discussion. Many, many ramifications, actually, halacha l'maisa. Okay, Reb Nachum, you fasting today?
Not today.
No?
Actually, so far, yes.
You are?
Just by accident.
The Shabura says, the Shulchan Aruch says, in Tafkuf Pe'alef, Sif Beisit, there's a meaning to fast in the Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Shabura says, Reiv HaKehilos fast on the first day of Slichus. Very interesting, I've done many, many questions, surveys here in Eretz Yisrael, nobody's ever heard of this minhag. To fast, doesn't mean the whole day, by the way, half day. But I know my family, we have that minhag. Although, to be honest, I did not tell my children who are in yeshiva to fast today, half day.
Why the break in the Masorah?
Break in the Masorah as such, but, you know, I want to learn properly. I don't want to, if you're not having their morning coffee or breakfast means we're able to concentrate on learning properly, then I'm happy to let them go with Rav of Klal Yisrael, who I think don't fast. But Tachlis, yeah, we did used to fast. In fact, we did used to. So yeah, I'm fasting now. Half day. The nafkimine is that at Mincha today, I will say Aninu. If I haven't yet broken my fast. Okay, we're going to do Chazar a little bit. We said on Daf Mem Aleph on base. Let's all try and keep awake. For those of us who went to bed at 2:30 last night, up at 6:30. Rav Avram, you probably do that every night. Okay, Zok Neheilige Mishnah Yom Tiv Harishain Shel. Sorry,
Mishnah.
Barishaina Mem Aleph Amadalef. Barishaina Hayalulav Nitel Bamigdash Shiva. At first, the lulav was taken in the Beis Hamikdash for 7 days. And this, by the way, is going to be very much the introduction to the next parak, because we'll see that's not always the case, depending when Shabbos was. Ubemedina Yom Echad. And in the Medina, they only shook 1 day. Why? Because the Torah says that you have to shake for 7 days only lifnei Hashem, v'samachtem lifneichem. And that's only in the Beis Hamikdash. Mishachara Beis Hamikdash, however, Hiskin Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai instituted shehei lulav nitel b'medina shiva, that it should be taken from now on in the base, not only in the Beis Hamikdash, because there is no Beis Hamikdash, but even in the Medina, for 7 days, zecher lamikdash. That was one takana. Second takana, v'shiyehe yoim hanaf kuloi osa, which we discussed. Yoim hanaf is the second day of Pesach, tez zayin nisan, we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, he instituted that as long as we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, don't eat chodosh at all the whole day. For the very simple reason, because otherwise next year, when Beis Hamikdash comes, people will say, "Once, what did we do last year? We ate at the beginning of the day, which actually is permissible, so we'll do the same again." No, it's no longer permissible. Why is it no longer permissible? Because when you have a korban, then you have to wait till the korban. So even though in theory it's mutati chodosh now immediately from the beginning of the day, not so when the Beis Hamikdash comes, you've got to wait for the korban. Therefore, there's going to be confusion. So therefore, to avoid confusion, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was in the second, you know what? Don't eat chodosh the entire day. And that way, when the Beis Hamikdash comes, there'll no mistake will be made. Nobody will eat chodosh before the korban is sacrificed. To the contrary, because, well, I'll try and recall. 1 second, what did we do last year? Ah, to the contrary, last year we didn't eat chodosh at all. So therefore, nobody will make a mistake. Says the Gemara, Mina lan davdinan zeichel amikdash. Very interesting type of question. How do you know that there's an inyan to make a zeichel amikdash? It's a strange question. How do I know? I don't know. You made it up. Why must we have a source? Nonetheless, the Gemara does bring a source. The pasuk says, in the pasuk in Yirim Yabrechim Damakra, Ki ale aruka lecha, umi makaisecho erpoech nu mashem ki nitche koru loch tzioin hi, doireish ein lo. The Novi is bemoaning the fact that tzioin hi, tzioin is Yerushalayim at the Beis Hamikdash, doireish ein lo. There's nobody being doyish, nobody is missing or searching. So you see that what? Doyresh ein lo, michlal deboy drisha. So you see that essentially you should be involved in being doyresh tzion. What does that mean, doyresh tzion? You should be missing it, and you should do your utmost to recall it, and therefore that's the union of making a zeichel amikdash. Now, why indeed did Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai institute that the Yom Hanaf should be asa? My time. Says the Gemara, Mehira Yibona Beis Hamikdash. Because we hope that the Beis Hamikdash will be built speedily in our days. V'yoimru, and what will people say? Ishtakeid, what does Ishtakeid mean?
Last year.
Mi loy ochalnu beheir mizrach. Didn't we eat first thing in the morning? And the answer is yes, they did, and it was permissible. Is hashtanami? So now also the Beis HaMikdash has been rebuilt. Nechal will eat again. Why would we assume, why on earth would we think that the rules have changed? But in fact, the rules have changed, and they don't know about it, and that's what we're worried about. V'inu lo yodi, but they don't know. De ishtake, the last year, de loy have a Beis HaMikdash. Heir, mizrach, hitir. What in fact is matter you to eat the oimer when there's no Beis HaMikdash? Heir mizrach. If you remember, we had two psukim. One psukim says, Be'etzem ha'yom hazeh, which at this moment we're translating as the beginning of the day. And we had another pasuk that says, Ad aviyachem, bring the korban. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, it depends. If there's a korban, you have to wait for the korban. If there isn't, then beginning of the day. And they don't know that. They'll think, why did we eat last year at the beginning of the day? Well, maybe that's a general rule. You're always allowed to do that. That's not true. Last year you're allowed to do that because there was no korban, but this year there is a korban. They didn't realize ishtake de loy have a beis hamikdash heir mizrach hitir. So the mizrach, when it becomes sunny in the morning, that's matir. Hashta de ikke beis hamikdash oimer matir. They didn't realize that what's now matir, the korban oimer. They didn't realize that. So for what they're going to do? Just like they ate first thing in the morning last year, they'll eat first thing in the morning this year as well. And that's a terrible mistake. Why is it a terrible mistake? Because it's now Beis HaMikdash, which means you have to wait for the korban. So therefore, in order to avoid that mistake, Rabbi Yechim and Zaka made a very simple takana. That's it. No eating chadosh on the Yom Hanaf. So next year when the Beis HaMikdash comes, what will people think? Nobody will eat chadosh first thing in the morning. They might think that you're not allowed to eat it all day. So don't eat it all day. But nobody will end up eating before the korban. Says the Gemara, 1 second. De'ivni eimas. What does that mean, de'ivni eimas?
When will they go?
When exactly will the Beis HaMikdash be built that you're concerned about this mistake? If you're going to say de'ivni b'shitzar, if you're going to say that it was built on the 16th, which is actually on the day, then hare hitir heir mizrach. What does it mean, hare hitir heir mizrach? It was already mutter. In other words, 6 o'clock in the morning, the sun rose, the Beis HaMikdash had not yet been built. Everybody's going to think, one saying, what did we do last year? Heir mizrach. What are we doing this year? Heir mizrach. Yeah, 100% correct. An hour later, the Beis HaMikdash was built. So what? It's too late. It's ready mutter. So what's the concern? Says the Gemara. Ela, rather, de'ivni b'chameisar. B'chameisar. We're talking about it was built prior to the 16th, on the 15th, as Rashi says, or 14th, or 13th, sometime before. In which case, Heir Mizrach is in fact no longer relevant. And people will think that it is relevant. Says more fine. I appreciate that. But 1 second. Mechatzois hayoim olahalon tishteri. But you could still permit it from chatzois hayoim and onwards. Why? Dotznal arachoike mutare mechatzois hayoim olahalon. Lefisha'in bezdim is atzlimboim. Remember we said, if you live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, and you have no way of knowing when exactly do they sacrifice the korban oimer, you're allowed to assume that what's the latest? Chatzos. Because they were not misatzel, they were not lazy. I can't tell you for sure whether they did it at 7 o'clock in the morning, or 8 o'clock, or 9 o'clock, I don't know. Depends on how busy they were. But no way did they let it pass chatzos, which let's say for argument's sake is 12 o'clock. So if you live in Tzfas, miles away from Yerushalayim, 12 o'clock, you can eat your chadosh. be rest assured that by that time everyone's been makar korban. Which means everybody was eating chadash by when? Even when there's a beis hamikdash by when? Hatzais. So why are you telling me that the yoyim hanaf is kulay asur? What should we really decree? There's no need to outlaw the entire day. Just outlaw until chatzos, and from chatzos onwards, let people eat. What are you worried about? That maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built, and once again, they'll eat from chatzos and onwards. Well, that's fine. Because from chatzos and onwards, you can assume the korban has already been bought. Says the Mara, like, Tzricha, De'ivni b'leilo inam yisomach l'shkiyas hachamah. We're talking about, it wasn't just built miles before, weeks ago. It was all very last minute, it was on that night. Or Shkia, or the night. Remember Rashi said, when the Beis HaMikdash descends from heaven, it can come even at night. So therefore what? How does that answer our question? Even though normally it's true, you can be rest assured that by Chatzos, it's done, but you know there's a lot of preparation for the korban. You have to go to the field and cut. They did that, I don't know, all night long. But if the Beis HaMikdash was only built during the night, then when do they actually begin their preparations? Only in the morning. Then you cannot assume that by come the night, come Chatzos, that everything was sacrificed. So yes, indeed, under ordinary circumstances, you can assume that by Chatzos, probably by that stage, the korban was bought, but not when the Beis HaMikdash has just about been built. And the Beis HaMikdash is just about being built, and it takes some time now to go to the field and get the new produce and to cut it, etc., etc., then what? So maybe the korban omer will not be built, will not be sacrificed at Chatzos, it will be later on in the day. What time later? I don't know, maybe very last minute. So again, I've got to outlaw the entire day so that when the Beis HaMikdash might be built, in other words, last minute, and there'll be makar of the korban omer last minute as well, nobody will, chas v'shalom, by accident, end up eating the chadash prior to the korban. Fine. That was the first initial understanding in the opinion of Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai. Omer of Nachman by Yitzchak. That what? Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Sorry, you completely misunderstood Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai's opinion. Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Da Omer min ha-toyre hu asu. It's not a takana midrabanon. Min ha-toyrah, you are not allowed to eat chadash. Not a gzeira midrabanon. Why? Because it says in the pasuk diksiv ad hayetzem ayem hazeh. Do you know how he translates that? Ad itzumoy shel yoyim, until the actual day v'kosava ad v'ad bichlal, up to and including. In other words, he does not translate etzem hayem hazeh as the start of the day. To the contrary, how does he translate? It's the end of the day. So in fact, it turns out, 180 degree turnabout. When the Beis HaMikdash is around, when can you eat chadash? Korban. If you're not sure, chatzos, but the korban. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, until now we thought from the beginning of the morning, Rabbi Yehuda says the exact opposite. When? The whole day is asa. Shkoyach, and that's what Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai said. So when Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai said Yom Hanaf Kulay Asa, he didn't mean Midrabanon, he meant Doiraisa. It's asa Doiraisa. Says the Gemara, one second, I'm not following. Umi Sovar Lei Kivasei? Does he really hold like him? Is it really possible to suggest that what? That Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? He doesn't agree with him. He argues with him. I don't know he argues. The Tanya. Remember Bryce says as follows. That's a quote from our Mishnah. Omaray Rabbi Yehuda, Vahaloi min hatoira hu asur. What was Rabbi Yehuda asking? Why are you saying that what?
It's already forbidden.
Then it's an institution. I mean, misaken it. It's asam minatayir anyway. Tichsev ad etzem ayem hazeh ad itzumei shel yoyim. End of conversation. So what do you see from that braisa? That what did Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai hold? It's not deraisa. It's only asam midrabbanon, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda challenges him and says, why are you saying it's Rabbanon? It's really deraisa. So how can the Gemara suggest that Rabbi Yechman himself meant that it's deraisa? To the contrary. You see that Rabbi Yehuda took issue with Rabbi Yechman and said, it is deraisa. In other words, Rabbi Yechman himself holds it's jolly well not deraisa. Says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Yehuda hu dekotoi. That was Rabbi Yehuda's mistaken understanding of the opinion of Rabbi Yechman. In other words, who saw that midrabbanon ka'oma? Rabbi Yehuda understood, or better put, misunderstood, and he thought that what did Rabbi Yechman and Zakkai mean? Derabbanon. And that's why he turned around and said, oh, what do you mean, Rabbanon? It's really Da'iraisa. But why was that a mistake? V'loihi. It's not so. Because what? Mida'iraisa ka'oma. Rabbi Yechon meant Da'iraisa, therefore you're not really disagreeing at all. V'ho hitkin ka'oma. So Gemara says, how can you possibly suggest that he means Da'iraisa? I'm sorry. Rabbi Yehuda had every right to understand that Rabbi Yechon means Rabbanon. After all, which word did he use? Hiskin. Hiskin sounds like it's a institution of the rabbis. It says more of my Hiskin, Dorash for Hiskin. Hiskin doesn't necessarily need to mean that they instituted midrabbanon. Rather what? He reinserted. People, this is where Rashi explains, people were eating from Chatzos. So what did Rabbi Yehuda come along and say? What did Rabbi Yechon come along and say? Excuse me, everybody, you're making a big mistake. Vehitke means he reinstituted, not he instituted. He reinstituted. Rabbi Yehuda understood that he meant instituted as if it's some sort of newfangled chiddush midrabbanon. No! Dorash, he learned the psukim, vehitke, like tiken. Tiken means he fixed up. He fixed up a long-standing mistake. Therefore, all he's doing is he's reintroducing that which was true anyway all along. It just had, for some reason, been forgotten. End of sugya. So it turns out we really have now two understandings of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai's opinion. Was Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai telling us that it's a takon of drabonon? But min ha-toyre you can eat from the beginning of the day, when there's no Beis HaMikdash? Oh. According to the other opinion, that no, he's following Rabbi Yehuda, and in fact, it's not also midrabbanon, it's also deraisa, it's not a takana at all. It can just means he reintroduced this long-standing concept, but he didn't introduce it as if it was new. It's jolly well not new.
So the fact that people misunderstood Etzah, they have misunderstood Etzah.
They, right, Rabbi Yechon was saying they understood that Etzem means the beginning of the day. Is that true? It's also all day long. It's not the Mishnah. Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag Shechol Liyos B'Shabbos. If the first day of Yom Tov is on Shabbos, now we're going to see this. Beis Hashem, this is the beginning of the next perek. If the first day of Yom Tov is Shabbos, you shake lulav, even though it's Shabbos. But it's no heter to carry the lulav in the street. You shake the lulav, we can't carry in the street. So what do you do? Kol ha'om moilichin es lulvehen. Everybody would transport their lulavim lebeis haknesses. When, says Rashi, on Erev Shabbos. L'mocharos, the next day, mashkimin uboy. They'd all get up early and come, kol echod ve'echod, makir es shaloi. Everybody, incredibly, would recognize their own lulav, and noitloin would take that one. Why do they have to take that one? And what would be if they accidentally take somebody else? Not so bad. The answer is yes, it is so bad.
Because the pnei she'omru chachamim ein adam yoytzi dechei vasai b'yom tevarishin b'lulav eshel chaveri. You're not yoytzi a mitzvah, at least on the first day, with somebody else's lulav. This is the famous din of lachem.
Why can't you institute that concept that the Rav said last week, that someone would be happy if they loan their lulav?
I'll explain to you in a second. 1 second. Whereas v'shayim moisachag odom yoytze dechivosei b'lulavoi shel chaveiroi. Fine. So even though it's true on all other days of Yom Tov, you can be yoytze with somebody else's lulav, but not with the first day. So Reb Nachum is asking, 1 second, don't we have a principle, nichalei le'inish le'mevad mitzvah b'moinei? A person is always happy, unless there'll be some damage or physical loss, whatever. A person is always happy for somebody else to do a mitzvah with his property.
Still alone.
Oh, very good. In other words, you're right. I let you use my esrik. It remains my esrik. It's still not lachem. It's not gzeli, you're right. You're not a gazlan. If I see your pencil lying around, I can't use your pencil. Why? Gazlan. You never gave me permission. If I see your gemara, then I'm allowed to use it. Why? Because we assume that a person is happy for people to do, other people to do mitzvahs with his property. So I'm allowed to use your gemara. So I'm not a gazlan. It doesn't mean it's mine. Rather, you are happy for other people to use your item. It remains yours. So I'm a shoyel.
Yeah, but if I knew he had to, quote unquote, own the gemara while he learned it, that would be my thought process also.
So you're saying a new chiddush. In as much as I'm happy for people to do a mitzvah with my property, why is there an inbuilt kavana? Well, if I'm also happy for them to be koine it, if... Good question. Fair point. Says the Gemara in conclusion, the Mishnah, Reb Yosi Yoime Yom Tov Orishin Shel Chag Shechal Yez B'Shabbos V'Shochach V'Oitzies Alul L'Rishus HaRabim. What does it mean Shochach? He forgot what? He forgot that it was Shabbos. He forgot that it was Shabbos. So he went gallivanting into the street with his lulav. Hey, what's going on? That was a mistake. So you should be chayav achatos. No. For hoitzias alul b'rishus terav impotem b'risho hoitziyoy b'rishus. What does it mean b'risho hoitziyoy b'rishus? Doesn't mean that he did it in a legal, permissible way. No, it was absolutely issur d'oraisa. But this is the famous principle of toya b'dvar mitzvah. He carried it out while it's involved in a mitzvah. Now it happens to be that the mitzvah does not permit him to carry it into the street. Meseder. That's why we thought he's chayav achatos. The chiddush is you're not chayav achatos because at least at the end of the day you're involved in something that you thought was a mitzvah. Tov? Been a long day. How do we know this principle that you cannot be yoytze with somebody else's lulav, at least on the first date? The Tan Rabbanon, v'lokachtem shetehei lekicha b'yad kol echod ve'echod. That's the first halacha, which is actually not our inyan. That we said, remember when it comes, for example, to other mitzvahs, that one person can do it on behalf of anybody. Sfiras Oimer, everybody has to count for themselves, but Sfiras Yovel, the Bezdin counts on behalf of everybody. But here it doesn't say Velokachto, it says Velokachtem, everybody has to shake lulav themselves. Fine. And now there's another drosha, and it says Lochem, Misha Lochem, Lohoitzi Esa Shoul Vesa Gozul. Lochem doesn't just mean for you, but it means Misha Lochem, means from you. It's got to be belonging from yours, from your property, belongs to you. Mikan Omru, and from here, this was the source, the Chazal said, Ein Adam Yaitse Yidei Chayvasoi B'yom Tivarish and Shalchag, B'lulove Shalchaveiroi.
that Chazal said from here you learn that you cannot be Yetz Haritz on the first day of Yom Tov, the mitzvah of lulav with somebody else's, unless Elohim Kei Nosn Le Matana, unless he gave it to him as a gift. And if he gave it to him as a gift, how does that solve the problem? Because it belongs to him. We once said you're not allowed to give a gift on Yom Tov, or on Shabbos for that matter. So we said you can't give matana on Yom Tov unless it's Letzairech Yom Tov. What is Letzairech that day? You're allowed to. Remember we said if you come to your eating out, when we invite the gelas, and the gelas come with, here's a whole shul that we built for you in Rav Shemesh Gimel. If it's something that you're going to use that day, then what? It's mutas halacha lemaisa. If you want to bring a gift to your host, you can bring them a bar of chocolate or a bottle of wine they're going to use that day. You can't bring them something that they're not going to use that day, because you don't have to do a kinyan on Shabbos. Umaisa. There was a story. Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Nachum, you could do me a favor. Maybe you could take over a little bit. Reading the Gemara. You can do an American accent, it's fine.
Thank you.
Okay. Don't worry, I'll prod you along, just my throat. No, I'm fasting. Umaisa, Rabban Gamliel.
Umaisa, Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva.
Sounds like Seder night here, yeah.
Shehayu be'in besfina v'lohi alulav el Rabban Gamliel bavai.
So where were they?
So they're all on a boat.
Yeah.
And no one had a lulav except Rabban Gamliel
alone. He was the only one. Shelokhoi that he had purchased.
Shelokhu be'el of Zeus.
Why do we need to know how much he paid for it? The Gemara says later on to teach us.
The Chashivus.
Chashivus and Chavivus and Mitzvahs. Okay.
Not lul Rabban Gamliel v'yatzevo. V'nasnu l'Rabbi Yeshua b'matano natlu Rabbi Yeshua v'yatzabo. V'nasnu l'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah b'matano natlu Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'yatzabo. V'nasnu b'matano l'Rabbi Akiva natlu Rabbi Elazar.
Rabbi
Akiva. V'yatzabo v'chaziro l'Rabbanu Gamliel.
That was the story.
So they all passed it around.
So why are we bringing this story to illustrate to us which point?
V'chaziro. That he,
okay, now that will come to in a second. But what's the main point that we're bringing this story for?
That you don't have to own it yourself.
To the contrary.
Pass it around.
To the contrary.
Meaning you have to own it yourself.
Even if on a temporary basis.
Correct.
So that's why the Braiser was very makbid to tell us that he gave it to each one. Each one shook it, was Yotze, and then passed on as a gift. Why just give it as a gift? Why can't you just lend it to him? Teretz is, if you lend it to him, then you're not Yotze. Fine. Says the Gemara.
Lomali the Neymar Hefeziro. What does the Gemara say, Hefeziro?
That they gave it back at the end when they were all finished, Rabban Gamliel. Why is that relevant? They've all been Yotze, and then that's the end of the story. What they did afterwards is irrelevant.
Milsa Agav Orchia.
Kamash Malant.
Kamash Malant.
What does Agav Orchia mean? By the way.
Taught me something along the way.
Oirach is a way, like Orches Tzadikim. And Oirach is away. So by the way, you're right, this is not the main point. But by, the Braisa wants to teach me a side issue, which is what?
Matana Amras Lahachzir Shma Matana.
So how do you see that from this story?
Because he had to give it back at the end.
So clearly Rabbi Kiva, Slicha, Rabbi Gamliel, must have stipulated with them from the outset that what? I'm more than happy to give it to you as a gift, on condition...
that you return it.
So remember what Tosa said. He didn't make that condition with every single one, otherwise each one would have to give it back. They didn't. They all passed it on, and the last one gave it back. So Tosa says, Poseidon, he didn't care as long as he got it back in the end. So therefore, who was this condition with?
All of them.
With all of you. The three of you, make sure it comes back to me at the end. You don't have to give it back to me one by one. So therefore, that's a very big chiddush. That what? Why is this a chiddush? It's a matana manaslef. What might you have said, Rav Nachum? Why is this a chiddush? You could have argued that what?
If you don't return it.
No, before that, the matana manaslef hachzi. Even if you do return it, what could you have said? The Gemara says a big chiddush over here. What's the chiddush? The matana manaslef hachzi is considered
that you own it.
You own it. You could have argued that it's not considered as if you own it. Why?
Because you've only got it for a minute. By definition, owning means it's mine forever. So for you might, in theory, that's why it's a chiddush, that's the milsa agav urchin. You might have thought, oh, 1 second, if you're happy to give it as a matana, but then you stipulate you've got to give it back at the end, I'm sorry to tell you, you've just gone and killed off the whole matana because it's now temporary. If it's temporary, then by definition you don't own it. That's how we're being taught that no, a matana, even though it's almanas lahasin, nonetheless, it's considered a matana. As long as you do, in the end, return it. If you don't return it, then what?
Then you show you haven't accepted the condition.
Then you didn't fulfill the terms and conditions. Therefore, the matana was never given to you, so you're exiled. That's what Gemara says now. Kiha da'amar Rava, just as Rava taught us that what?
Halakha etrog. Esrog zeh almanas lahashachaziru li.
It's not clever yotze by vehechziroi. If indeed he gave it back, thereby fulfilling the terms and conditions, then what?
Not move yotze bo hechziro yotze lo hechziro.
Yotze
lo hechziro lo yotze.
Right. Why, if he didn't give it back, is he not yotze?
He didn't fulfill the full terms and conditions.
And therefore, what turns
you
out?
Yotze.
Why not?
Because you didn't. Fulfill
everything. No, so what? So you didn't fulfill. So you're not a nice person.
So
therefore,
you never owned it.
I never owned it. Therefore, you're a gazan. Right. That's the point. At the end of the day, if you didn't fulfill the terms and conditions, not just you're not a nice person. It means at the end of the day, you didn't own it. It was only given to you on condition. This, by the way, is the very, very, very famous question. When I sell you an item, it's as if I'm giving it to you on condition. What's the condition? I'll give you this item on condition you pay me. And if you don't pay me, I'm not giving it to you. This is a very, very, very famous shaila. Commonly asked question. Commonly asked question. You go to the Arba Minim shop before Sukkos. And you buy a beautiful set of Arba Minim. How much does it cost? 400 shekel. So here's my credit card. So we don't accept credit cards. Cash. Oh, I don't have any cash on me. You know, I'm going to go home and get cash. So you went home, and guess what? In the business of Yom Tov, you forgot. You come first to Yom Tov, and repeat. Or worse still, a Maisa Shehoya, the guy went home, he got cash, he ran back, and the Moicher had gone. He'd set up some stall in the stores, in the Merkaz, 10 minutes before Yom Tov, he comes running back, the guy's packed up and gone home, he's no idea who he is, where he is. He can't even say to himself, right, I'll make a mental note, first thing on Motsu Yom Tov, I'll pay him. I don't know who he is, where he lives, no idea, never see the guy in my life. What do you do now? You have an Arba Minim, which L'Choira you don't own. Why not? You never paid. So it's not just an issue of, well, it's a shame, you know, it's not a very nice thing. It means you don't own it. If you don't own it, if you use it, you're a gazlan, so it's not Lachem. Famous Shailah. So here, by the way, is where you could, in theory, discuss, Rav Nachum, your point that you mentioned before. Maybe we would say that nichalele inish, a person is happy for you to mekayem mitzvah with his property. We said that's not enough, because even though you're happy to mekayem mitzvah with his property, it still belongs to him. So you said, no, in as much as that I know that you're not going to mekayem the mitzvah unless I make it yours, maybe that creeps into the nichalele. So therefore, let's now enter the mindset of this Arba Minim seller. What does he really want? Does he really want to be very, very stubborn and say, you never paid, that's it, it's not yours? You know, he probably doesn't want that. Firstly, he wants his money. And also, Klal Yisrael and Tzadikim, they're very happy if he's working, he wants his money. So probably he was thinking to himself, subconsciously, I want this purchaser to be Yetzer the Mitzvah, even though it's my luluf. I know that it's got to be Lochem, so I'm happy to immaculate him on condition. At least he comes back after Yom Tov and gives me the money. Maybe. But that's only going to solve us halfway. That's only going to help if I know who the Moicher is. But the Moicher certainly will not think that when he packs up his table and then he's not going to get his money. Why should I give it to you? I want my money. Give it to you free. Give it back. So therefore, if this is a solution at all, it might only be a solution if I can track down the moich and I can give the money. Then in theory, there's room to discuss, maybe in the subconscious mindset of this moiche, he's thinking to himself, I'm more than happy for you to shake it. More importantly, I'm more than happy for it to become yours. I want my money. So I'm stipulating it's a condition he brings in the money. So therefore, if you bring the money, all fine and well. If not, you're in trouble. That's a very, very famous shaykh. Are you Yetzer or not Yetzer? Fine. Weiter im Nachon.
Why does the Mishnah stipulate that he paid that much money for it? Lodiacha, to teach us kama mitzvos chavivos aleihem, how special the mitzvos were to them.
So that word to them is a little bit tricky. What do you mean them? They didn't pay for it. Who paid for it?
Gamliel.
So l'chayah, the Gemara should have said kama mitzvos chavivos olov, he paid for it. Not sure. Okay. Amalei
Mar Bar Amemar the Ravashi.
Abba, my father.
Tsluye Ka Mitzli Bey.
Which means he davened.
With it.
Bey means with it holding. And that's what was he trying to illustrate?
Chavivus.
My father was so fond of the Arab Mimi, he Pasha couldn't put it down. He davened with it in hand. 1 second. Very nice. He had Chavivus Amitzas. Who said he did the right thing?
Maisvi, we ask a question. Lo yochez adam tefillin viado. Person doesn't hold the tefillin in his hand all day. The sefer Torah b'chiko is parallel, or hold the sefer Torah in his lap and daven. Lo yashdin b'han mayim, v'lo yishon b'han lo shinus keva, lo shinus armat. And he doesn't drink water.
Shouldn't relieve himself. Water, yeah. Or shouldn't sleep.
Shouldn't sleep. A fixed sleep or a temporary one.
Either one is also. So you see, Ve'omah Shmuel, and Shmuel added,
Sakin V'ka'ara Kikar Umos Hare Elo Kiyotzimahem. Whether a knife, a bowl, or a loaf of bread.
Yep.
Umos.
Or money.
Money Hare Elo Kiyotzimahem. You can be Yote with all of that.
No, Hare Elo Kiyotzimahem.
It's the same. Like,
same rule. Now, don't think that it's only also to hold Dvorim Shebe Kedusha. It's also to hold what?
Anything.
Why?
It takes away from your kavana.
Takes away from your concentration. So therefore, how can you tell me that his father carried the lulav all day, even during davening? Very nice, but he did an issi, not allowed to. By the way, did I mention then? It could be, we did discuss it. My wife asked me, other people have asked, what do you do with a very neger shayla for a housewife, a young housewife? She's davening. In the middle of davening, her baby starts screaming and yelling the place down. Now, it's all very well to say, ignore him. Firstly, if I ignore him, I won't be able to concentrate because he's bawling the place down. And secondly, if I ignore him, I don't know, maybe it'll be dangerous, maybe he'll, I don't know, it's not gonna... So let's say you know the only thing that will calm him down is you pick up the baby and you carry on davening. Is that muto or asa? At least in this situation.
Will improve your concentration.
Here would improve your concentration. In other words, you don't lechatchila carry the baby during Shmona Esra because that will ruin your concentration. But if the alternative is that he's going to be tugging and pulling and screaming and yelling and quetching and crying, you won't be able to concentrate on a word, then to the contrary, carry the baby will calm down, and that way you'll be able to dump better.
I would think you just shifted
at that point.
You've just shifted your. What you're preoccupied about. Now you're just preoccupied, I'm going to drop the baby, I'm still holding
it. At least be able to concentrate on davening better than not be able to daven and worry what's my kid going to do. He's going to have a tantrum, he's going to jump off the table, I don't know what he's going to do. For that reason, by the way, there are some poskim who maintain, the chazan ish included, young mothers who have many kids at home should not daven. There is a precedent for it. The Mishnah says that people who work on top of buildings shouldn't daven. They can't get down because they're on top of a building or trees and they're so nervous they'll fall off. It can't dump. Nobody said they should put themselves in that situation in the first place. A young mother's got children, she, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed her with. Some maintain that if it's not possible, then she shouldn't dump. Rather than dump, and then every 5 minutes another baby cries, and this one is kvetching, this one needs diapers changing, and then he's fighting, and then he needs feeding, and then it. Lolech. Al Kaponim, so this is the big question. It's all fine and well. You want to say, wow, what a tremendous thing. My father loved the mitzvah of Rabbanim so much, he could not put it down and he held it even during davening. But what's the kasha? You're not allowed to hold things during davening. So, what does that mean? It
doesn't help.
It hasn't achieved anything. It's like saying, do you know, I love learning so much, even in the middle of Shmona Esra I learn. I say, very nice, you're allowed to. I love our Rabbanim so much, even during davening you hold it, you're not allowed to. Fine, what did the Gemara answer?
Hashem love a mitzvah. Over there it's not a mitzvah, but Torah behu, because he's preoccupied.
And therefore he'll be preoccupied, he'll be worried the whole time, he'll go, I drop it. Mahacha.
Hacha mitzvah ninovah al Torah behu.
What does that mean?
Over here, it's not. It is a mitzvah. He's not preoccupied with it. Meaning,
so if you remember, we discussed this. What does that mean? In theory, I could tell you the exact opposite. If it's a mitzvah, he's super nervous. After I got married, and children, Baruch Hashem, 2 years in a row, I bought an esrog with a pitta, and after that, I stopped. So 2 successive years, my esrog with its pitta did not last till the end of Yom Tov. So if you carry an esrog and a pitta, what do you mean it's a mitzvah, you're not torrid? I would have thought you're even more torrid. Like if anybody bumps into me, anybody knocks into me, anybody scratches. So we explain, no, he is worried. Of course he's worried that nothing should happen to his esrog. But he's so excited, Rashi said, about the mitzvah of... Aruminium, he's not thinking about that. Not that he's not concerned, he's not thinking about it. I'll give you an example. It's not my moshel, the Beis Halevi gives a moshel. Imagine somebody has got a big choiv on their head. Suddenly realize they owe the bank $1 million. And they're very preoccupied with it. They can't stop thinking about it. How am I going to pay the $1 million? I'm going to get $1 million. All day long they're thinking about it, very worried about it. Imagine they're walking down the street and they think about $1 million. He can't stop thinking about it, non-stop. All of a sudden, he doesn't see there's a stone on the street and he trips and he goes flying. So he lands on his feet, Baruch Hashem, everything's fine. Those 2 seconds whilst he was in the air, I promise you, he was not thinking about $1 million. Why? Because he's in such a panic, he's so preoccupied with protecting himself from worrying, like, about, will I fall down, that they completely forgot about the mitzvah of the chayv has. So this is the same as well. The person is on this level, and that's what he's saying. My father is so excited about Arba Minim that he's so excited. Not that he's not concerned. In other words, when this guy is flying through the air, slipped on the ice, it's not that he doesn't worry about the chayv. He does worry about it, he's just not thinking about it now. It doesn't all of a sudden become a matter of no concern. It becomes it's a matter of very serious concern, but it's a matter he's not thinking about because he's completely involved with something else. Says the Gemara, Tanya.
Tanya Rebbe Lozar ben Tzadagon, eh? Ka chayo minhagim shal Anshei Yerushalayim. These are the minhagim of the Anshei Yerushalayim. Adam yotze mi beisa v'lulo v'yado. Someone leaves their house and the lulav is in their hand. Holei v'beis ha'knesses, lulvo v'yado, or leaves the shul and his lulav is
in his
hand.
He goes to shul, still in his hand.
Karle kriya shema mispalo lulavo v'yado.
It's still in his hand. This is the meaning of, you see, Anshei Yerushalayim, not like us, we take the lulav out of his packet, we shake it, we put it back, and Bob's your uncle. No, they were holding it in the morning, on the way to shul, in shul, non-stop. Except...
What does that mean? So when he would do, they would read from the Torah, or they would do Birchas Kohanim, they would put it down on the ground.
Why?
Holech.
So why do they do that?
Because they need their hands.
So Korei b'Torah, why do you need your hands?
Put your hands when you say the bracha.
Rashi says you've got to open the Sefer Torah and look into it. No, he says, obviously you've got to lift up your hands. Okay. Holech.
Holech the Birchas Kohanim. Stop, what
does that mean?
So if he went to do Bikur Cholim or Nicham Aveilim,
then once again, imagine he came to the hospital holding his lulav, he came to the Shiva house holding his lulav, you know, he only put it down for Kriyas HaTorah and Brichas Kohanim, otherwise on the way to shul, way back from shul, he's going to do mitzvah non-stop. Okay.
Nicholas is based on Midrash. Nishagia Kulavo, Viado, Beno Uviad Avdo, Uviad Shulufa.
So when he got to the... Remember before, we didn't use the word Beis HaMedrash. What did we say before?
Beis HaKnesses.
When he went to the Beis HaKnesses, which is where you don't...
No,
you daven. So then what? He took his lulav with him. When he went to the Beis HaMedrash, what did he do? Then he sent the lulav with. Meshager means to send. With who?
Yeah.
With his son, with his slave, with his agent. Why? Why did he not take it with him?
By which concentrate?
Because when you go into the Beis HaMedrash to learn, then you couldn't have a lulav in his hand. You have to concentrate. Davening, apparently you could daven. You could do mikacholim, and you could do nechavenim, and you could walk to shul and batch, everything. But going to the Beis HaMedrash, then he said to his son, do me a favor, please take my arba minim home. Or to his evet, or to his shliyah.
Why didn't he just put it down like the other case with the Kari Torah? Go to the base medrash, put it down, and then when you're done learning, pick it up, and then you're going to do bikkurcholim.
One second. He went to do the bikkurcholim. Went down doing his mitzvahs. Now he's on the way to the base medrash. Where should he put it? He's in the shiva house. So what should he do with the lulav now?
He's holding it in the shiva house.
Right. Now he says, right, I've done my mitzvahs for the day. I'm now off to morning seder. What should he do with his lulav now?
You bring it to the base medrash, you put it down like you would your hat or your bag, and then when you leave,
why do you have to send it home? Why can you bring the base medrash? And when he starts learning, you put it down. And then when he finishes learning, you can pick it up again and you can carry on.
Same thing about Korea Torah. You put it down. We didn't bring the son or the slave in that case. Put it down and then pick it back up when we're done.
Didn't have a super lulav case. He's a Tari that the shulchan's going to be full of Svarim, and somebody's just going to knock it off the table.
Oh, you bring your umbrella, you bring your coat to the, you know, you hang in the coat room. Same place they put in the base Knessets.
Okay, fair question. I do not know the answer. Good question. Says the Gemara bottom line.
My Kamash Vlan, Lodiacha, to teach us Kamahayu's reason be mitzvos.
You see, they were so alacrous. Is that such a word?
Yeah. No.
They displayed alacrity. Now, they had such chavivas amitzvahs that they could not stop holding it, so I mean, even though, as we mentioned when we learned it then, there's no mitzvah to shake it all day. Essentially, what is the mitzvah? How long does the mitzvah actually take, technically?
A second.
How do you know?
Pick it up.
Because that was the Gemara later. We're going to see you next time. So as soon as you pick it up, you're yetzer. That's spent all day in it. But if you do spend all day, it could be you have extra chaviva some mitzvahs, and that's what Anshei Yerushalayim clearly displayed. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. Beis Hashem, next time we will hopefully finish the end of the parak, Chazara, and we will begin the next parak.